Joint Education Committee. Senate and House Joint Education Committee. Go to order, please. Today is Monday, March 12th, 2018. The time is 8:02 a.m. In attendance, myself, Senator Stevens. Senator Coghill is here. Senator Begich is here. And I'm sure the other two will show up soon. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I would like to welcome our newly appointed House District 38 representative and the newest member of the House Education Committee, Representative Tiffany Zulkowski of Bethel. And I'm delighted that you're here. In attendance, in addition, are Representative Parrish, Representative Johnston, Representative Tallarico, and myself, Representative Drummond. I expect Representative Kopp this morning, but we'll see. Okay.
Thank you very much. So in today we'll be given a presentation called Educator Workforce Pilot Study relating to teacher training, recruitment, and retention in Alaska. We have with us Sarah Sledge, Executive Director of Coalition for Education Equity, and Dr. Barbara Adams with Adams Analytic Solutions, and Jerry Covey with JSC Consulting. Also online we have several folks, Sean Arnold, Superintendent North Nome Public School, and Marie O'Brien, Superintendent Northwest Arctic Borough School District, and Scott McManus, Superintendent of the Alaska Gateway School District. Any questions or comments before we start? Thank you very much, and welcome, Tiffany. Glad you're with us. So if you would join us, please, state your names for the record. We'd anxious to hear what you have to say.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Chair Stevens, Chair Drummond, and members of the Senate and House Education Committees, for the opportunity to present to you this morning. My name is Sarah Sledge. I'm the Executive Director of the Coalition for Education Equity.
Dr. Barbara Adams from Adams Analytic Solutions, Nenana, Alaska.
Jerry Covey, JSC Consulting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to note that Representative Kopp and Representative Sponholz have joined us. Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue.
Okay, thank you. The Coalition for Education Equity is a statewide organization representing Alaska school districts, organizations, and individuals to champion an equality, equitable, and adequate public education for every Alaska child. Founded in 1996 as Citizens for the Educational Advancement of Alaska's Children, or SEAC, we advocated for education reform at the legislative level while fighting the Casile and Moore lawsuits, which were settled in 2011 and 2012, respectively. Today, we continue our advocacy work and also use research, policy development, and partnerships to advance solutions in our schools and school districts that will lead to better outcomes for Alaska's children. I know you have all heard testimony this session about the challenges school districts are having with recruitment and retention of quality educators. This is one of the focus areas of our work and has been a challenging issue in Alaska and especially in rural Alaska villages for many years. There is a significant cost associated with teacher turnover. A recent study by CAPER estimates the cost of teacher turnover at just over $20,000 per teacher. We know that it is a strain on schools to have unfilled positions, which subsequently puts a strain on other teachers, administrators, and our students. We know that student outcomes are better when teachers stay. With our goal of ensuring a quality education for our children, teacher turnover is a chief concern. Students benefit when teachers establish a stable bond with them, their families, and the community. Building trust, establishing expectations, connecting with the community, instilling cultural relevance in the curriculum, engaging family support, these are all hallmarks of successful teaching practice. And this is very difficult to achieve when the turnover rate is high. Over the past several years, there have been a number of studies that have helped our understanding of why teachers leave. Many teachers who leave voluntarily indicate some type of dissatisfaction for their reason for leaving. Teachers who are less prepared are 2 to 3 times more likely to leave. Teachers in areas of high poverty or in high minority schools leave at higher rates. Teachers who report an unsupportive administration are more than twice as likely to leave as those who feel well supported. In Alaska, teacher turnover is greater in our rural districts, averaging around 20%, but reaching up to 52% in some schools. The reasons include those I've already mentioned, but others are unique to Alaska. Some teachers don't feel connected to the community. Housing conditions, remoteness and weather, cultural differences, whether a teacher was prepared in Alaska or out of state. In 2014, Coalition for Education Equity commissioned Dr. Barbara Adams and Jerry Covey, who are seated here with me today, to conduct our Educator Quality Quantity Effort, or EQQ. This sought to study statewide issues related to recruitment, retention, and quality of Alaska's education workforce. The study resulted in the development of a model and recommendations for change that addressed the many aspects of the problem in a systemic way. And you all, I believe, have copies of that report.
Thank you, Ms. Sledge. Before you can do, I just want to recognize that Senator Giesel is with us from the beginning. Thank you, Senator. Please go ahead.
Thank you. As a continuation of our work, the Coalition for Education Equity is again working with Barbara and Jerry to conduct a pilot study, which is researching educator workforce quality, satisfaction, and retention, while providing direct support to the participating districts. The study titled Research-Based Educator System Support, or RES, is working with five Alaska school districts throughout the current school year. And I'm going to turn this over now to Barbara and Jerry to tell you about the study.
Thank you, Sarah. Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, the study we did was funded through the coalition, and it was actually funded with money that was left over from the Moore case, a legal settlement regarding education. And with the help of the coalition and the Department of Education, we were able to apply that funding to this study. What we have done is, or what we're in the process of doing right now, is a third-party confidential research-based exploration of teacher turnover in Alaska. And the way it works is very straightforward. We develop a survey, and we work with every participating school district to review the questions of that survey so that we're all in sync on that. And then we conduct the survey. The data comes straight back to us. It's confidential, so school districts never have any information that could help them identify any of the respondents. We get pretty straightforward information. We have 35 multiple choice and five narrative in five different sections we review. And they report to us. We develop we share the raw data, the process data back with everyone who takes the survey, so they see the numbers, and then we do a narrative report for superintendents that responds to the themes and trends that are coming out of the answers, what's strong, what's weak, and we also do a kind of synopsis of the narrative comments that people give us. So superintendents get a very concise report back, We have five areas that we'll talk a little bit more about going forward and show you what they are and what type of data we're getting. Sarah, in her conversation, mentioned a 2015 report we did, and that set the stage for the work that you see today. This model was built around these three priorities. The work we're doing is systemic. We want to have an understanding of what's happening across the public education system. Cultural relevance is another kind of foundation part for this, because right from the very beginning, people expressed a great need and concern over cultural relevance. And then obviously measurable outcomes is something we were looking for. So you'll see those themes throughout the study today. The expected benefits, what we started out to accomplish, was improve communication between school district leaders and their teachers. We want to come up with actionable feedback so that there's somewhere to go with this information. We're measuring workforce satisfaction. We're measuring the connection that teachers have with the community that they work in. And we're looking at ways to improve teacher retention. And ultimately, of course, student achievement is the goal. So as we go forward, you will hear directly from some superintendents responding to these very things. The participating districts are listed there. We have Alaska Gateway. We ask for volunteers from the Coalition for Education Equity member districts. And what we had several volunteers. We selected districts in different geographic locations, different political structures, different sizes, so we could get some semblance of what people were thinking across the state. So we have Alaska Gateway in the northwest, northeastern interior. They're on the road, off the road schools. Kashunamut, a far west school district, single site district. Nome, which is a three site district, city school district. Northwest Arctic, which is a large rural borough school district with 11 different communities. And Yupit, which is a southwestern district with three sites, also an REAA. Everyone's participation, I should point out, was voluntary, all teachers and all others.
Do we have a question, Representative?
I'm not quite sure if I understand this. As far as response rate?
Yes.
Through the chair. It looks like you actually had a very healthy response rate, but is that throughout the district, but individual schools might not have had as robust response rate? Is that what you're saying?
Through the chair. Thank you for the question. That is correct. That's the district response rate. And Barbara's our research expert, and she tells us that anything much over a 40% response rate is pretty good. And so you can see we're getting far above that, and that's all voluntary. So that is the district response rate, and it varies within the district in different schools each time we do the survey, actually.
A follow-up?
Please, Representative Johnson.
Is there any – so each time you do the survey, does that response rate change in individual schools, or do the individual schools tend to – the ones that haven't been participating don't participate?
Interesting question. Thank you for the question. We do find that it's always open to people who did not participate in the previous survey, and we're finding that, in fact, as we go on, we're seeing in some districts higher response rates across the system. But it varies because it's voluntary on their part.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The surveys, we're conducting four surveys throughout the year, and as Sarah mentioned, previous research that has been done has been fairly extensive, but it's been conducted at different times. Someone will do a study, and then a year later they'll do another study, and so on. This one tracks the same teachers through the same school year, and looks at the working and the living environment that they have and gets their responses continually. So it's somewhat unique in that. So you see the survey times there. What we offer districts is a very short turnaround time. Once we get the data, we process it quickly. We get the response, get the narrative back to them, and we have a follow-up with them. And also, in several cases, we've had follow-ups with their school boards that have had really a great interest in what this data is telling them as board members. The areas that we survey are listed there. We look at five groups: work environment, what's happening within the school, and that includes leadership. There's five questions in each area. We look at the relationship teachers have with their community. We look at the issue of teacher efficacy, quality of life for teachers in the village, and what's happening in terms of strengthening the workforce. And all surveys are set up identically. The response options are the same for all surveys, and so teachers by now are pretty adept with this, and you can see it's a 0 through 6. And as I mentioned, at the end of each section, there's a narrative response opportunity, and we do get a very high number of narrative responses.
So here's what some of the data looks like. You see the distributions here from Survey 1 and Survey 2. And so this is on that scale that Jerry just mentioned, 6 being absolutely, so that's a positive response, 1 being not at all, so more of a challenging response. This is the average over all 5 districts, all 31 questions. And so the mean is your actual average, 4.38 on the first survey, 4.23 on the second. The standard deviation is a measure of the spread. And so we're using the value of 1 to be an indicator of if it's less than 1, it's a pretty tight-knit group. People are more aligned in their thinking. If it's greater than 1, then it's a little more spread out and there's more diverse thinking. And you can see the sample size here, 235 and 240 so far in these two surveys. Here's another view of data that we show. And so this is now broken down on the scales. And some people prefer the visual, some people prefer the numbers. You can see how the scales vary. Again, this is for all five districts averaged together. So you see the average here again at the mean, and you can see high, one of the highest values on survey one was the leadership, close to 5.0, which was that mostly response. And the one with the lowest at the beginning of the year was quality of life at 4.2, still on a pretty positive response. Oh, I'm sorry. And then strengthening the workforce, which on the first one was HR questions, close to a 4.0. Standard deviation there you can see again. So again, if it's bigger than one, it's a little more spread apart. If it's less than one, they're a little more consistent in their responses. The median is actually the middle. And so the reason we look at that is that if the median is bigger than the mean, then the data is skewed towards the right on the positive. If it's less than the mean, then it's skewed towards the left. And so that might mean that you might have some extreme values affecting your mean, but the median just helps to see a better picture. And then also showing the min and max there as information. Just so you have a feel for how these survey questions work, as Jerry was saying, we do this throughout the year instead of just one snapshot. And so we've designed the study to actually have the questions grow along the same theme. So for example, number 23, someone has recognized and valued me for what I can contribute to the school. That's at the beginning of the year. In November, I am routinely recognized and praised for doing good work. And then by that March survey, recognition and support by colleagues has contributed to my professional growth. So you can see the consistency across, but the development throughout the year. So this is a new graphic that we're starting to use. This is called a candlestick graph. They actually use it in for stock market. And so again, this shows the mean, the average, and the median, the middle. If that box is green, it means that the median is higher. If it's red, which in this case we don't have any, it means it's lower. So if you look at something like Leadership 2, that was the second survey, the leadership scale, and you can see that the average was a little below 5, the mean was above 5, and then those lines are your standard deviation, and so you can see a little more spread out than some of the others. These three here shown are your internal scales, kind of things that the district and teachers have more control over. The other scales we're calling external scales are on the next slide. Community, quality of life, strengthening the workforce. And you can see there that quality of life is the only red one that we saw so far from the first survey where the median was a little lower. We're trying to use this image as a better snapshot of really trying to pull together lots of data together. So we're going to keep adding to this as our survey 3 and 4 come in.
This next survey shows the same type of graph, but it only shows the mean scores for the three surveys. And again, this is for a specific school. This is for Nome schools. We have their data completed for the third survey. So we're giving you a look. If you look at survey 1, 2, and 3 in each of the five areas, you can see where they're trending. You can see quite a bit of information about the mean. And Superintendent Arnold is on the line, Mr. Chair, and he would like to speak to you briefly about this data to give you some insight into what this looks like from the superintendent's viewpoint.
Great. Superintendent Arnold, are you with us? Sean Arnold is the superintendent at Nome Public Schools.
And, yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, fine. Please go ahead. Identify yourself for the record.
Yes, it's Sean Arnold, superintendent for Nome Public Schools.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. It was an exciting opportunity to participate in the RESS survey project. As a member of the Coalition for Education Equity, we've been looking at this with other partner districts and wanted to definitely be a part of this. Of course, in rural Alaska, Nome is a little bit different. We have many more things to kind of offer as a community, but one of the areas that we struggle with that other rural districts are is just the attraction of kind of effective educators to our district. We want kind of the best teachers in all of our classrooms, and what we've noticed over the last few years is just, of course, as been repeated before, that the struggle with kind of attracting, retaining quality educators. We've just seen more educators leaving and just fewer applicants. And we wanted to kind of reflect internally to see what we were doing, if it was something to do with salary and benefits, if it was limitation of housing, just some of the areas that we were concerned about. What the RESS survey had done was it kind of allowed us a tool that, you know, with really carefully constructed questions, was able to kind of pinpoint areas that helped us validate the supports that we had been putting a lot of effort into, but it also kind of allowed us, too, to recognize the areas that we needed to improve on. And those were some areas that were a little shocking to us, namely the support that teachers feel by themselves within the classroom, time for collaboration, professional development resources, and just kind of some connections with the community. The areas about housing, salary, and benefits, our teachers felt that that was adequate. That wasn't the areas of concern that we discovered throughout this year, but the areas kind of pinpointing was increase in that collaboration time, kind of, you know, things that we could do to kind of better support our teachers. Hadn't known any of this before this survey. We really were surprised by the outcomes, and already we're kind of tailoring some initiatives for the future to kind of address the teachers' concerns, you know, with the hope that if we support the teachers, they're going to stay longer with us in our district, and we can grow them into greater professionals than they already are. But the survey's been a valuable tool, one that we hope to continue, and just, you know, it may not be the big solution, but it's going to be very effective and letting us support the teachers we have, and then hopefully attract others, just knowing kind of the levels of support we can provide.
Well, thank you, Superintendent Arnold. We have a question from Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Superintendent Arnold, for weighing in this morning. I'm curious, how can the district provide that increase in collaboration time for your teachers? Is it a matter of salary? Is it a matter of changing their schedules so that they have more time to spend with their colleagues during the school day? That's a difficult thing to do, and I'm curious to see what your plans are.
Yes, thank you for that question. The first thing we really look at is the quality of leadership. In Nome Public Schools, like many other rural districts too, we had quite a bit of turnover there in our school leadership, also our district leadership. I was the fifth superintendent within 6 years in Nome Public Schools, and then prior to that, we were probably going through a different principal every year. The biggest thing we made an effort on is stabilizing leadership so that teachers knew kind of consistent expectations from year to year. And that's one of the big changes, too, when we're looking at the support down at the classroom level, is, you know, that consistency. And having a clear picture from year to year how a school can be run, and it's pretty different from community to community, but, you know, knowing that schedule, if you have 7.5 hours of time during the day, that as a new principal, you may not know that, you know, 20 or 30 minutes that you can utilize at the end of the day can be time where you can have grade-level meetings. And so that experience that principals have from year to year is really valuable. And that's where we kind of, we've had that stability. We've had principals in place for a while through other efforts, and they've looked at, you know, better utilization of that time, mentor support, both peer mentors within, and then also utilizing the state Alaska, Alaska State Mentorship Project. It's really coming up with kind of innovative and creative solutions there for that collaboration time, as well as kind of, prioritizing that. It's something the teachers value, and we put efforts as well as, of course, you know, making sure that we can provide subs when there's time to you know, work one-on-one with peers, even carving out time during the weekends there if we need to provide, like, an additional stipend for teachers during the weekend to do, like, deeper dives into data after assessment period, and just some innovative collaborative ways that we can come up with it. So it's a work in progress for us now.
Thank you. We have a couple more questions. Representative Johnston, then Representative Parrish, and then I have a question. Please go ahead.
Thank you, through the chair. It's interesting. I look at the testing dates, and I wonder, as you're looking at the results, do you take into the seasonal aspect of these testings and how that might affect some of the responses?
Yes, ma'am. The one surprising about the survey there is the timing. It's right around what we call kind of the winter doldrums. Mm-hmm. Of course, as many folks know in Nome, January, February, it's cold, dark, right in the middle of the school year. Folks have been at it, staff and students, for many months. And the responses were still very positive. What we're noticing is just kind of like with our last, it's kind of that right before spring break, it's right gearing up for state testing. It's right in between the winter testing too, that we have formative assessments there three times a year. These are big assessments that all of our students take. And so there's a little bit of kind of weariness on the part, probably even of students, but of staff. And also there's the unknown of, too, is kind of, you know, with regards to positions, contract offerings, you know, if positions will be funded, if any kind of staffing changes. And that kind of wears closer and closer as we get to the end of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question in a similar vein. The tests were administered in September, November, February. The next is scheduled for April. And in the data so far, all of the test threes or assessment threes are lower than the first assessment. Would you have any prediction for April, and how much do you think it might be an artifact of the way the questions are structured? Just as an example, in the first round of questions, a question was, someone has recognized me and valued me for what I contribute to the school. And then in round three, the question is, recognition and support by colleagues has contributed to my professional growth. In the middle, it's routinely being recognized and praised. So a couple of questions. What do you anticipate for April, and what role do you think the changing parameters for the survey have?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Dr. Adams probably could do a better job of answering that question about kind of the purpose of shifting depending on time of the year for the survey questions. I know we carefully crafted that. I would think, though, that as, of course, we anticipate many departures from our district this this coming year, we may see a different response rate. Where teachers were uncertain about the future in January, February, going into April, now they know if they have a contract, if you know, if they're looking at departing the state. We have, out of 54 teachers, we have 18 teachers anticipating leaving this year, and teachers that aren't retiring, all are leaving the state, and that's probably about 10 teachers. So we kind of anticipate that it's going to be kind of a lower response rate through the year. I think with the freshness and newness to the job, and with other things stable from year to year, I think the beginning of the year survey responses will be higher. But again, I say on the analytic side of the survey, I think Dr. Adams might be better to respond to that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Adams, who'd care to respond?
Oh, sure. Okay. So for us, this is about trying to see where are strengths and where are there opportunities for growth. So seeing something go down doesn't necessarily feel negative, right? Because this isn't an assessment. This is trying to measure people's satisfaction and understand what's going on. So if this gives superintendents a snapshot of what changed, as we know a lot anecdotally, but actually quantify that anecdotal, which is a phrase Sean used that I liked, from November to February, then this gives them insights into something that perhaps they wouldn't have heard of before, because teachers may not be comfortable saying that to their leader, to their leadership, to their maybe even to their colleagues, right? So for us, this is where can, what kind of opportunities for growth can come out of this. And so it is natural. We would have been surprised if we saw something jump up in February. In fact, we wanted to gather data at that lull, right, because we wanted to see what's really most important to them, what are they struggling with most, what are they happy with in this doldrum stage.
Thank you. And back to you, Mr. Arnold. My oldest daughter, now a psychologist, taught for 6 months in Lower Kalskag, and the thing she remembers the most besides the students was the fact that the older woman in the village made her a cuspuck and really developed that relationship with them. And I don't see what you do about that. As a superintendent, you talked about community interaction. How can you encourage community interaction among your faculty?
Yeah. That's a great question. It is something that we put a lot of focus on here. What we recognize, though, too, is that culturally, communities are very different from, you know, community in rural Alaska. Nome, for us, we're a little bit of a crossroads for Inupiaq cultural background as well as Yupik, and very diverse history with the mining past. When we have new community members, the big effort that we make is to kind of integrate them into the local culture. For the past 6 years, we've worked with Bering Strait School District, partnering with them because of our location in a cultural camp. And this is a camp that we encourage every new staff member, when they come in, they learn about the local region, the history of the local region, also about the people. And for us, that's subsistence is a big activity for many of our families, and we do the best there to kind of integrate them in the local culture. One of the greatest areas that we've noticed is our state does a very good job of requiring new teachers. Two college courses there are multicultural studies in Alaska history, Alaska studies, but those courses don't really prepare them for the local, I guess, the local identities. And that's one thing. So we try to kind of tailor and kind of create kind of a condensed course down without the focus on the academics as much as kind of the hands-on involvement. Our teachers learn how to seine on the rivers. They learn how to clean fish, put up racks, because when they interact with the students, they can have, you know, they understand where our students are coming from. And we encourage them to participate in local activities, local festivals. And, of course, for us, it's a very blended community. You know, we encourage them to learn about dog mushing to, you know, some of the mining history. And so we do a big effort on that. And for cultural connectedness, many of our teachers report, our newer staff report, you know, very connected and very supported by the community.
Well, thank you. That's a very interesting statement. I appreciate hearing about the cultural camps. It will, no more questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Superintendent Arnold. We'll move right along then, Mr. Garvey.
All right. So you've seen all of the data aggregated together. You've seen a snapshot now of a school district data. This is an example of what the data looks like question to question from each of the three surveys. So, again, you can see the question along with how that data changes throughout the year and that development of the question. This next one shows a question we ask exactly the same all three times. At this time, I want to continue teaching in this school next year. And you can see how that data changes over time as well. And it's not surprising people start off with a rosy picture, right? And now we'd like to also invite Superintendent Dr. Anne-Marie O'Brien from Northwest Arctic to share, and then following her, we have Superintendent Scott McManus from Alaska Gateway also.
Well, thank you very much. Superintendent O'Brien, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for this opportunity. I'd like to address this to the honorable members of the Joint House Senate Education Committee. For the record, I am Dr. Anne-Marie O'Brien, Superintendent of the Northwest Arctic Borough School District. We have 2,136 students in 12 schools in our 11 villages, and none of our village sites are accessible by roads. I have been employed in the Northwest Arctic for 18 years, 6 as Director of Curriculum and Instruction, 8 years as Assistant Superintendent, and now in my 4th year as a Superintendent. The message I am giving to you this morning is an affirmation of the importance of the research-based educator system support surveys currently being conducted with all our certified staff. As you know, recruitment and retention of qualified teachers in rural Alaska is a challenge, and with the national shortage, increasingly problematic for the health and well-being of our rural schools. With a certified staff of 187, we are already seeking to fill 40 positions for the 2018-19 school year. This past year alone, we started the school year off for the first time during my tenure with the district with 5 unfilled positions. When approached with the concept of being party to the pilot of this systems approach to soliciting information on educator concerns, we were very, very interested. The opportunity to challenge or confirm our assumptions regarding why people stay or leave provided the opportunity to collect relevant data in support of goals in the district's strategic plan. These goals include being the employer of choice with customer service as a focus, supporting district-wide future planning and budgeting, accessing real-time information to assist with recruitment and retention of teachers, increasing communication of all stakeholders, and supporting attention to data-driven decision-making. Once we accepted to partake in this opportunity, Dr. Adams and Jerry Covey met with the district administrative team to cooperatively develop questions we believed would provide us with the useful information. that is, facts on how teachers were experiencing their work and living environment in remote communities. The end goal was to address situations that fell under the district's responsibility, where we can exercise some influence and promptly offer solutions and support. Information on the survey was presented to school board members during our fall annual retreat, and results presented to site administrators to engage staff in conversations regarding the initial survey outcomes. To begin with, we were concerned that these discussions would be intimidating. However, the opposite occurred. Staff expressed appreciation for the feedback and for an opportunity to discuss their experiences. While the site administrators reviewed the information with their staff, the district office team reviewed district-wide data and used the information to inform our efforts at recruitment, professional development, school climate and safety, workplace satisfaction, and community connections. Currently, three students from two villages outside our school district and 32 Northwest Arkansas students are enrolled in introduction to education offered via distance. Additionally, 12 students are enrolled in internships in four of our schools. The addition of these dual credit classes for our juniors and seniors support our efforts at growing our own teachers and developing an active educators rising program. We intend to continue to support these homegrown educators, and we firmly believe that the information from the current staff that we are collecting through these surveys will better serve to prepare the district in their efforts to continue support to these teachers to increase retention and reach the goal of being an employer of choice. Our average turnover rate for certified staff ranges from 20 to 40%. We seek information and solutions to decrease this number, and we're confident that these survey results will assist with these efforts by providing accurate and timely information. Another very important statewide benefit of the collection and use of this data is the opportunity for the University of Alaska School of Education to use the information as they review supports for prospective teachers and to inform course syllabi, practicums, and student teaching opportunities, and overall teacher preparation for those choosing to work in rural Alaska schools. The district urges members of this committee to support the efforts of the LEAF team and educators throughout the state, collecting information to increase retention of qualified staff throughout rural Alaska, to understand and reduce turnover, and ultimately to improve academic success for all our students. Thank you, and I welcome any questions.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bryan. So your personal retention, how long have you been with the district?
I've been here. This is my 18th year.
18th. Wow, congratulations. Thank you so much. Well, one question I do have that you consider now or later, we are considering a retire-rehire policy in the legislature. That has, of course, has to do with retaining people who've retired. Do you have any response to whether that it would be of help to your district or not?
And through the chair, thank you for making that request. I have myself personally testified in support of the retire-rehire bill. I think it is a stopgap measure as we work our way through this teacher shortage. And I really do hope that that does pass. What it provides for us, for people coming back to the district, if they have been in any site in rural Alaska, is that they already have a clear idea in their mind of the situation they will be getting into, and that they understand better the culture, they understand better the students, they would have a better understanding of the strategic way that we manage our curriculum, professional development, support services, student discipline. So we would be at a tremendous advantage, but I do see it not as a permanent solution. I see it as a stop gap measure, and I think it would be very, very helpful to us.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your comments at some point. I know we don't have time for this now, but I appreciate your thoughts on that, Bill. So did you want to go on to McManus now? All right, we'll go on to Scott McManus, Superintendent of the Alaska Gateway School District. Are you with us, Scott?
I'm here. Thank you very much for having me speak today. For the record, my name is Scott McManus, and I'm the Superintendent of Alaska Gateway School District. I've been with the district here for 22 years in various capacities, starting as a social studies and voc ed teacher. I want to thank you for the opportunity today to speak to you. Alaska Gateway is a small district in the interior. We have 40 certified staff and 7 widespread communities. We're about the size of the state of West Virginia, like other districts. By Alaska standards, we have a relatively low turnover. Mostly it's attributed, some people attribute it to the road system, but the year I became the super here, we had 20 staff turnover, which is 50%. Last year, we only had to replace 6 teachers, which we were pretty happy about. And this year, even after a full court press on keeping our quality teachers, it's looking about the same with the number of staff who are retiring, those who have medical issues and fear of being away from that kind of help. And we offered contracts early this year, January 8th, which was the earliest legally possible. I would like to echo what both Superintendent Arnold and O'Brien have said. I grew up in Northwest Arctic in the school district in the community of Ambler, so I very much appreciate what Dr. O'Brien is doing in my hometown, in my old communities that I grew up in. The solution to getting quality schools is both difficult and extremely simple. It is just being able to hire and keep quality teachers and administrators. It's easier said than done, as we all know. Alaska Teacher Placement is our primary clearinghouse for finding certified staff, and I want to tell you that they do a great job for us, but they are really fighting an uphill battle. With the diminished capacity, there's I think they have less than 1 full-time FTE for the whole program. Tony does a really good job. I went to 2 job fairs last year, and we offered a couple of contracts at the first job fair. But those teachers got snatched up by other districts, typically more urban districts, when I was able to follow up with them. And when I went down to the Portland job fair, we didn't even offer a contract. We didn't find a teacher who we thought was going to be a good fit. And the good teachers are difficult to attract. When a new teacher coming out of college is making a decision about where they want to go, and they don't have personal ties to Alaska like many of us do. I mean, I don't ever expect to be anywhere else in my life teaching. But if you're a young teacher out of Oregon or California or Colorado, and you can make the same amount of money there that you make here in an economy where that dollar goes 30% further, and where they get a higher quality retirement package, and where they can still help kids, which is why they want to be teachers, that's where they go. So Alaska is not the easy sell that it used to be for our millennial teachers. So because of this, we work really hard at finding quality teachers and keeping them. We try to identify teachers who are going to thrive in a rural environment, the kind of teachers who are going to be a good fit into the fabric of our community, and who we work to it. We have 45 minutes typically in an interview, which I like to refer to as sort of a speed date, about whether or not we're going to hire this person and whether or not they're going to be a good fit into our community. We do a lot to keep our teachers, and the res or survey is one of the tools that has been very important to us in helping to determine the direction of our approach with them. All of our new teachers go through a 2-day orientation that includes, which I don't think is very much, but it's what we can do. It's additional to their contract. And part of that orientation has to do with how we do business here in Alaska Gateway School District, but also it's a cultural orientation specifically into the Athabascan culture of the Upper Tanana. We're partners with TCC. We offer classes with them. We have written our own class that is a 3-credit course to the University of Alaska Fairbanks that all of our new teachers take in their first semester, which is intended to sort of mirror and model the kind of the way that the flow of a typical year would go. Our teachers, we participate in partnership with UConn Koyukuk School District for cultural orientations. And the information that we have received from tools like RES have been absolutely critical in helping us to design those programs. Teachers want to feel like they're making a difference with their lives. I will tell you that they do not stay, as Barb Adams said, they do not stay for money. But I can also tell you that having a competitive package doesn't hurt when you're trying to attract those teachers. Once you get them, it's all about how you, how the district supports them in their classrooms, supports them in their schools, creates a stable organization where they can rely on what is going to happen, and mostly where they feel like they're impacting the communities and the kids. We had two of our communities last year host for the first time host new welcome back dinners in the community for our two of our most difficult schools where we have difficult time filling staff. And I can tell you that that dinner has been spoken about by our staff many times, and in both of those communities we're having 100% retention this year, at least so far. Things do change. So with that, I just again would like to say how much we've appreciated what the work that both Jerry and Barb are doing with the RES survey and the information that they've gleaned, and how important it is for us to use it as both a marketing tool and a retention tool for informing us. And with that, I will answer any questions that the committee may have.
Well, thank you very much, Scott, and also thank you for your 22 years of service in your district and for your insight into millennial teachers. That's something we don't need to be aware of these days. Any further questions or comments? Please continue.
We're good?
Yes, okay. Yes.
We'd like to begin wrapping this up a little bit and share with you that we do see different trends in different districts. And every district is unique, and every school within the district is unique, as we've heard. So we're seeing some different patterns emerge, and those patterns are useful to superintendents in those districts. We're also seeing some things that are kind of trending or becoming themes across the system. And we're finding that to a district, teachers generally feel welcomed in their community. They feel that they're connected to their communities. And we find that whether it's large, small, urban, rural, pretty much the same. Clarity is starting to emerge in terms of their response rates, the deviations, although they're still relatively large in some districts. We're finding people are more like-minded in their answers. We're also finding that this issue of culture, how to integrate culture into the classroom, is a very high priority for every school district. Yet it's one of the things that across the system school districts struggle with the most. And there are reasons for that, access to materials, opportunities to develop lessons that reflect the culture. All of those factors play into that significantly. Also, teacher efficacy, if you look across the system, is quite high everywhere. Barbara, are there other things that you saw?
I think one other trend we start to see is some resiliency across the quality of life questions. And so even if people aren't feeling like that this is exactly how they want life to be, they're feeling comfortable in it, and they know how to live in the lifestyle of wherever they may be located. So some resiliency is coming out too.
Mm-hmm. So you've heard from some of our superintendents that have been participating in the study, and they are all members of the Coalition for Education Equity. When we were working on the development of the when we were working on the development of the survey questions with the superintendents, with the school districts, and with Barbara and Jerry, it was really important to us that we develop questions that would provide that timely feedback within the school district in a way that it could be usable for our districts. They could have something to respond to and really use it during that school year. and also provide them with support. So not just say, here's some information for you, good luck, but how can we work with you and help you and give you some support and consultation so that you can think about how to best use that information. So that was extremely important to us and for our members when we were asking for their participation in the study. I also want to say that it was very important to us to have a statewide vision when we were looking at the development of the survey. And Sana Eifert is here. She's the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Education and Early Development. She and I and Daniel Walker, who is the superintendent at Lower Kuskokwim School District and is the president of the coalition, we serve on an advisory committee to help guide this work. It was extremely important to us to have some statewide questions. We knew that there were questions that did not, that were outside the realm of control for a district. So those community questions or things about the remoteness of a community, that's something that a district can't control. But we felt like that was really important for us at a state level and also for the community level. If there's an issue with community welcoming, that's something that a school board could use that information. They would want to know that information and that a community would want to know. They could think about what they can do to help recruit and retain teachers. So those were some things that we really were concerned about. So in addition to providing this valuable feedback and support to districts, we expect this study to result in a rich resource for our state, so provide some, with that data analysis, some potential tools and resources for our school districts, for our communities, and at the statewide level. So it could inform local policy, but also our statewide policy. And I don't know, Sana, if you wanted to add anything or?
Thank you. Good morning. For the record, my name is Sana Eifert. I'm Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Education and Early Development. And really all I'd like to add is kind of echo what's been said. Bottom line, why is this important? It's important to the achievement for our students. It's important to have a consistent, well-prepared teacher that they can build a relationship with that will be there for them over an extended period of time. So the department certainly supports this work, and we look forward to getting the outcomes so that we can look at possible policy decisions that may make a difference for our districts. The other connection that I want to point out is the fact that this really fits right in with the Alaska's Education Challenge and the recommendation specifically from our Ensure Excellent Educators Committee that talked about creating possible cohorts of teachers, professional learning academies, ways that would help new to Alaska teachers. That seemed to be the largest number and percentage of teachers are coming out of state to Alaska. And what do we look at to help retain those teachers? So we're looking forward to this information and working in partnership with the Coalition for Education Equity to help look and make a difference for retaining these teachers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Eifert. Senator Begich had a question. I apologize for not getting to you.
No, it's okay. Both a question and a comment. The comment is, for the record, I was involved in the Moore lawsuit, and one of the difficulties we had in the final decisions that were made by the court in that lawsuit was really quantifying these things. And for the record, I'm married to the head of the Coalition for Education Equity, so I want to put it on the record, but say that I was not, I purposely stayed away from this and not known how this study was being conducted. So this is a first for me today, and I didn't realize the depth or the three-dimensional depth of the different questions and the sequencing. And why that matters to me, and this goes to the question I'm going to ask the Deputy Commissioner, it matters to me because In the final decisions by the court, it was unclear in many instances as to what really was meant by teacher retention, what was really understood by teacher retention. So my question to the department, given that legal action and those kinds of things, has this helped in the department's approach in general to the question of teacher retention and being able to quantify it? And do you see a path forward with this work for where you guys might guide the department in the long run?
Through the chair, Representative Begich, I really can't speak to the definition of the teacher retention part because I was not here, and I'll have to say I'm not sure what that definition was during the Moore settlement to look at that. But absolutely, I feel like that this study and this information will help the department to quantify some information around retention of our teachers. I think probably the piece that the department is most excited about is, again, having some trends and themes to look at. And I hope that, as the commissioner has said a number of times, the role for the department is to try to be the connector with our districts to help share and spread information that can be used across all districts. So you listen to a couple of our very longtime superintendents and the things that they're doing in their districts, and being able to look at the information that comes from this survey in the districts that have longstanding superintendents and leadership, and apply that to some of our districts that don't have that possibly, and sharing that experience and learning opportunities from the themes that come out of this study, I think will be a huge help to other districts. And so we're excited to be a part of this and to be a connector to share information across our district so that it will make a difference for that achieving an excellent education for every student every day.
Just brief follow-up. Thank you, Madam Chair. Just collaborative work post lawsuit. What a novel idea. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Senator Begich. I'd also like to note that we were joined by Senator Hughes at 8:55 a.m. I'd like to. I noticed that Superintendent Scott McManus of Alaska Gateway had a couple of activities that appear to be helping. The welcome back dinner that he talked about in two of their communities with the hardest retention, the toughest retention issues, already seem to be showing improvement. And he mentioned I think it was a 3-credit course that they have for their teachers, for their new teachers. I'm sorry we let him go before we could learn a little bit more about that. Do any of you know what he's doing in terms of that introduction to their district?
Unfortunately, we do not. We don't know that.
Okay, if we could get him to... Is he still with us? Superintendent McManus, are you still there?
This is Scott McManus.
Great. If you could, did you hear my question about go ahead.
I think I did, Senator. Thank you. Through the chair. So what we've tried to do was to create a kind of a cohesive introduction to the school district. We have a number of activities that we're designing, including, these community events where we're trying to create scenarios where we authentically integrate our new teachers into an activity where they can get to know people. I think that building relationships is really just the most critical thing that you can do when you're starting out in a new community. So new teachers coming into our district have a number of opportunities to participate in cultural orientation that takes place in Fairbanks or Coke, and we've done that for a number of years. They participate in a 2-day orientation that is the official beginning of their contract. We have 2 extra days that are built into the new teacher contract, but it's covered under that, under the negotiated agreement. And then that class or that orientation that they take is essentially continued into this course that we've done, which is simply, it's an actual class. It has some work, but the work that they do is related to what they would be doing in the classroom anyway. So we'll bring in speakers who model, for example, how we do our lesson planning, what is to be expected in our evaluation system so that they know how that works. We did our own evaluation system really out of frustration with the ones that were otherwise available to us. And I think what we've come up with has been very effective. It's a collaborative evaluation system, and our long-term teachers speak very highly of it, which is very reassuring to our new teachers. We assign a mentor teacher to each of our new teachers, so someone who's been here for a while, not from the same site, but we give them opportunity to meet on a regular basis, which they do. The class that we're talking about, we designed it and ran it through the university, so it's one of their, we just sign up new teachers now. But essentially, in the, in this week when we're doing, I'll give you an example, we would talk about about the way we want our teachers to interact with their parents during parent-teacher conferences. So there would be opportunity before the parent-teacher conferences for our new teachers to, understand how, with examples and with suggestions for interacting with parents. Some of our new teachers, we know that they come from a foreign culture. They come from, cities, sometimes Cincinnati, wherever, and so a rural village experience is can be very foreign to them. But I think that by providing this model, we've been able to be pretty effective in having our teachers feel like they know what to expect, know what is expected of them, know how to interact with folks from a different culture, which is really just being a human being, and but not but embracing that at the same time. Right now, I think everybody on this committee is probably aware that there's a rise, there's an increasing amount of interest in culture in our schools. There's a lot of discussion about compacting. I just was up in Fairbanks this week, working with TCC, and compacting is something they're talking about. So our communities are taking, I think, an increased interest in their schools, and I at least in our region, and we're seeing that play out in terms of our teacher retention. Does that answer your question, Senator?
It's representative, and that's quite all right. Yes, I'm very excited about what you're doing in the Gateway School District, Mr. McManus, and just wondering how are you sharing that with other districts?
To be honest, we're too busy doing it. We are really busy. We have a small administrative staff here. I do interact. There's an interior superintendents consortium that's made up of Yukon, Koyukuk, and Fairbanks, and I don't know that we're particularly special in doing our onboarding. I think that maybe we are. Maybe more intensive than some districts, but I know that Lower Kuskokwim, for example, Dan, they've done a huge amount of work down there, and I've taken to heart a lot of the things that they're doing. So I think that the superintendent or group is a very collaborative group. We share out, we talk a lot, we talk on the phone, we have meetings, and so it gets out that way. But we are really busy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate it. And did you say that you have 22 years of service at Alaska Gateway?
Yes, ma'am.
And how long have you been the superintendent?
I'm 18 months.
All right. But that's on top of the 20 and a half years of service prior to becoming superintendent, if I did the math right.
Pretty close.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We want to keep you.
Thank you.
And while we have him on the line, any additional questions from committee members? All right. Thank you. And if you and the other superintendents are continuing to listen, I would love to have your testimony written, and I know the recorder would also appreciate it. If you could send that to the committee chairs, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am, I will do.
Okay, thank you.
In closing, then, Madam Chair, if it's appropriate, We are working with the coalition currently to continue this service. We've met with the five school districts that are participating, and they all have expressed, well, four of them have expressed a certain interest, and one is kind of on the fence whether they want to continue with it next year. And so we're working with Sarah very closely to try to find a way to make that possible. And one of the things that we've learned in this is that the application of this information all happens at the building level. So as we work with districts in the future, we're going to put a lot more emphasis into connecting at the beginning of the next year with principals who will actually be engaging with their teachers to have these collaborative discussions on how to develop these strategies. And we're very much looking forward to that. And we have, we did this year have some opportunity to engage with principals, and it was very positive and rewarding for them and for us. And we believe that that had a positive impact on how districts, that district was able to interpret that information. And rather than a study, we're turning this into a project now, and you can see the name on the bottom. And it's about team optimizing, because really the way to go forward is together. It's not the hierarchy, it's the collaboration of using honest, accurate feedback and translating that into ways that will improve education for students. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any questions? All right. Senator Coghill. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Zilkowski.
Through the chair, thank you. Just a follow-up question. It sounds like there's a lot of discussion that happens with local school districts. I was curious about, you had mentioned just at the end, application of strategies, and does that local strategy development happen at the district level after the superintendents have seen the information that's coming in? Is there any support that's provided through this process to give them resources related to potential national best practices or anything that's recommended from a policy level?
Go ahead. Okay. Thank you for the question. In the pilot project, we set forth our goals, and it did not include that. But as the year went by, we began to realize the opportunity and the necessity of engaging with districts in that way to provide some specifics. So as this has evolved, we've been pointing out, initially we pointed out the strengths and weaknesses within each five categories. And now we're talking with districts about how you might do that, how you might engage with people to frame it in a way that supports a conversation that produces outcomes that are specific. And we will transition into that into a much larger degree in the next cycle of doing this. It's one of the lessons learned. Thank you.
Thank you. And seeing no further comments or questions, I want to thank you for this presentation. I'm curious if this is intended to continue on to other districts, or are you going to just continue within the same five districts that you've been working with?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the question. Yes, we are expanding it. We're making it available through the coalition to all school districts in the state, and we've developed a fee structure that's based upon district size, and one that we hope is attractive and viable for all school districts who would like to participate.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Seeing no additional comments or questions, our next meeting of the House Education Committee will be Wednesday, March 14th at 8 a.m. We will hold the first of three meetings to take a detailed look into early childhood development with the Alaska Early Childhood Coordinating Council. And with no further business before us, we are adjourned at 9:14 a.m.